Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Okay, I am back on a bus. I'm going back into Hong Kong. It's Sunday evening as I record our introduction for today's podcast. I just love this cross-border life, which brings up a week trip. I'm going to be in Shanghai right at the beginning of September. There is a China Channel and Walk to Chat production for a chat conference. It's the biggest English language conference about WeChat and micro-messaging in China and probably the world. And I'll be holding a workshop there about cross-border e-commerce for WeChat sellers. So I'm excited to be presenting there. And if you want to go, it's September 1st and 2nd at The Place venue in Shanghai. I will link to it. It's kind of buried inside of these WeChat channels, but I will do my best to link to the event page on the normal web. All right, and now for this week's show, we have Esther Jacobs. I was fortunate enough to meet with her in Prague during my European trip, and she is quite the world traveler, speaker, consultant, author, and she is sharing with us a little bit of her experiences living outside of Holland and some of the hiccups she's having along the way. So I know we have some Dutch listeners and people living outside their own home country, so she gives us some a little bit scary stories, and I think you guys will enjoy. So let's listen in. All right, everybody, welcome here from Prague. I'm at the DC Prague event, and I met a pretty cool person, Esther Jacobs. Thank you for being here, Esther.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, so we were just at a meetup a couple days ago, and you were sharing a pretty amazing story. But before we get into that, do you have your elevator pitch of what you're doing?
I'm a speaker and an author of 16 books. I gave over 1,000 keynote speeches in 5 continents. I traveled over 100 countries, and they call me the no excuses lady because I always see opportunities instead of problems.
That's great. That's really cool. And I think what we're going to focus on today is a really, I don't know, I don't want to, I know there's some listeners that might get scared about this, but you're, can I say you're Dutch?
Yeah, I have a Dutch passport.
But I guess there's some news. Do you want to kind of share about this story? I want you to say it. I don't want to mess it up.
Well, it's very simple. I got fired from my own country for traveling too much.
Yeah. So you said you were outside more. You weren't in Holland 4 months out of the year.
I didn't know about any laws. I just knew that I lived in Holland. I paid taxes. I had a company. I had my own house that I've had for like 16 years. And one day I went to the city hall to renew my passport. And they told me, we can't renew your passport because you don't live here anymore. And I just thought it was a mistake. You know, mistakes are being made. So I explained that I travel a lot, but I still live there. And it's the only place where I live. But they didn't want to talk to me anymore. So they got a supervisor and he looked at the screen. He looked at me and he said, no, we have to investigate this. And I'm like, but what is the problem? Can I have a look at my files? And I said, no, you can't because the files are private. I'm like, it's my own privacy. Can I at least see what you have on me? What's the problem? But they didn't want to listen anymore. And they started an investigation. And I find out, they didn't tell me, I had to find out myself that apparently there is a law in Holland that in order to be registered at an address, you have to sleep there 4 months a year. And I travel so much that I don't sleep in my own house 4 months a year, but I thought that wouldn't be a problem because I don't have another house, I pay taxes, I have a company. I'm a law-abiding Dutch citizen. But apparently that wasn't enough. Any exception to the rule is considered as fraud. So they put an investigation team, they don't listen to you anymore, and they continue and continue. And I had to present like flight tickets, ATM receipts, call records to prove that I slept in my own house for 4 months a year. And I thought, is this a police state? You know, what have I done wrong? It's really, really, really ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, this is really a crazy story. And we were talking before, you have or had house, banks, or what? What happened there?
You mean the result of... Well, I didn't let it get to that so fast. Of course, I protested, I wrote letters, I appealed and whatever. Nobody would listen to me. So I published a blog on Sunday afternoon. And on Monday morning, the ministers in the government, they heard about it. And they started asking questions. They had a meeting about my case. And they met for about 3 weeks. And then I got the reply that this law is not meant for people like me, but it's there. And technically, the city hall applied it correctly. So they couldn't do anything for me. And then the city hall went ahead and they deregistered me from my own house, meaning I lost my parking permit. Every time I went to the city hall, I got a parking ticket and they didn't know where to send it because my address didn't appear in their files anymore. So that was kind of funny. But the part that wasn't funny is that I also lost my voting rights, my pension, my rights to Social Security. I got kicked out of the health insurance. My company got deregistered because it's at the same address. And because I didn't have a Chamber of Commerce registration anymore, they closed my bank accounts. They stopped my phone plan. And basically, I lost everything. It was like a game of dominoes. The only organization that kept saying, Miss Jacobs, to us, you are and will always be a Dutch citizen, that was the tax service. They still wanted me to pay taxes, even though I don't have any rights anymore.
Yeah, this is a bit unbelievable. I mean, I'm not sure. I know there's a lot of European listeners and friends of mine that are, you know, we're a Global from Asia podcast. So we talk about, you know, Hong Kong and Asia business, and a lot of them are living in Southeast Asia or in China most of the time. So are they in trouble?
They might get into trouble, but most of the time nobody notices. I mean, our own king, the king of the Netherlands, he travels a lot. I don't think he sleeps 4 months a year in his palace, but nobody checks that. And somehow they got hold of me. I don't know why. I reconstructed how it happened. And that might be a practical tip for other Dutch people. If the government sends you letters and you forward your mail like I did, then the mail doesn't get forwarded, but it gets sent back to the government agency. And then they start an investigation instead of just asking a question. So if you travel a lot and you're registered at another address, at your parents or some other family, a lot of people do that and it works normally, but don't have them forward like physical letters from the tax service or from the city hall. Just have somebody open it and scan it and send it to you instead of physically forwarding it, because that might get you into trouble. And they're hardly ever going to check on people unless they get like a tip or you receive like Social Security or you have a rental house that you keep occupied even though you're not there. Those are usually the triggers. In my case, it just happened and they couldn't stop, because once they start this investigation, in the idea of the government, is any exception is a case of fraud. They don't see exceptions of people that live differently like we do as a possibility. So anything that doesn't fit the system is fraud and needs investigation.
Oh man, this is a little bit, you know, crazy. So you really... You don't have your house that you paid for?
Well, the funny thing is I still have my house and I'm allowed to live there, just not register. But you can't live in a house if you're not registered, because you cannot have a parking permit and you don't have any rights anymore in the country where you live. So I decided to rent out my house to expats, and actually I make some money on my house and it enables me to travel more.
At least there's some good news in this a little bit.
There's more good news, because they deregistered my company and I tried talking to the tax people, like, what should I do? Should I start a new company in the Netherlands? Should I start a company abroad? What should I do? And they just told me, you still live in the Netherlands, you have to pay taxes. And I'm like, but they just deregistered me. The government, the ministers talked about this. They deregistered me and my company. What should I do? The tax people wouldn't answer me. So I had to find my own solution. So I started a company in the British Virgin Islands. And you don't have to pay taxes there. And the good thing is that you also don't have to keep any administration. So I'm completely free now. I don't have to pay taxes, no administration. And it's in fact because I got fired from my country.
Okay, so there is some good news in this. And you write some books. I see a book right here, Digital Nomads. So you're totally into this lifestyle, right, of digital nomad?
Yeah, I wasn't planning to. I was just living my own life. I've been living like this for over 10 years, even before the word digital nomad became fashionable. But I wrote a book about my experiences in Holland. It's a Dutch book. It's called Handbook for World Citizens, where I explain my situation. I give tips. I share my solutions. But then I found that there is also an international crowd of people who wants to live like this and who finds the same problem. So I wrote Digital Nomads, How to Live, Work and Play Around the World in English. So now it's like an updated version and it's an international version with all kinds of tips. Also on the Six Flag Theory, how to structure your international life and business so that it's less vulnerable and it's more fitting to your international lifestyle. A lot of people ask me if it is to avoid taxes, but that's not the case. It's just for people like me and like a lot of listeners who have an international lifestyle, who just used to be still in the system of one country because it's easier or because you never thought about it. But it's more practical to structure your life and your business internationally as well. So you're safe in case some government decides that they don't want you anymore and you lose your bank accounts and your pension and your phone plan and your company. It's better to spread your assets, but also your registrations among as many countries as possible. And that's the Six Flag Theory.
Awesome. Thank you for this. Great tips. But as far as passports, I mean, I'm an American, so I'm always got problems overseas, I think, now. But you're still Dutch. And I remember the other story you said you're going to renew your passport soon, and that was some fun.
Yeah, it was really difficult. They didn't want to renew my passport, and after I got deregistered, they couldn't renew my passport because you need a place of residence in order to get a passport. So the city hall, they felt a little bit bad. They said, you know what, we'll help you get your new passport. You just need to register temporarily at an address in the same city and then you can get your passport. So I said, oh great, can I register temporarily in my own house? No, that's not possible. You have to ask a friend or somebody else. So I temporarily registered at another address. So in my own house, I was allowed to live but not register. And on the temporary address, I was allowed to register but not live there. Those were the rules. So after I did this, I got my passport and then I wanted to deregister from the temporary address because it was a temporary address, right? And they wouldn't let me. They said, no, it's not possible. And I said, but you promised me, you told me. And then they had to hire consultants to consult with the ministry to ask how I could deregister from this temporary address. This cost society so much money. It's so ridiculous. But I have my passport and it's valid for 5 years. And just after they changed the number of years that a passport is valid. So next time I renew my passport, it's going to be 10 years. But the problem is I cannot go to the city hall. I cannot go to a consulate or embassy because I'm not registered. So I have to go to a special desk in The Hague, in the capital, for homeless people. So I'm going to be waiting there. And it takes 6 weeks because they want to research your case. So I was thinking I have to go there like next year and I'm going to bring a camera team. This is going to be so much fun between the homeless people, you know, with my own house, with my company. I'm just a normal citizen. I have everything except for registration and I'm going to be waiting among people who have nothing.
Yeah, I think others at our meetup, we want to, if you can share that with us, I'll definitely keep listeners posted too on the progress. It's I think it's great you came on the show and I feel like this is, you know, of course we talk normally about Asia business, but we talk also about international business and people living around the world. And it's true, right? Governments are just still not caught up at all. I mean, of course, we're talking about, you know, your case in Holland, but I think it's really all governments. So you also mentioned you even do some speaking or consulting to the government.
Yeah, it's funny. The Ministry of Internal Affairs asked me to help them sort this out because they want a solution for this, because there's going to be a lot more location independent people and entrepreneurs. So for 3 years, I, you know, talked to a lot of organizations, everybody that was involved in this problem. And there's a company that actually supervises it. They're called the Kafka Brigade. Very fitting, Kafka, the bureaucracy problems, whatever. And just as they were about to publish their analysis and to, you know, to come with a solution, the ministry got changes in their responsibilities and they said, we don't want to do this anymore. So please stop the research. And then the Kafka Brigade said, you can stop us because you're paying us. And if you stop paying, we cannot continue. But we cannot stop Esther Jacobs. So they invited me to the ministry again for a cup of coffee with the new person responsible. And they were like, oh, this is so ridiculous. I read your book last night and it's impossible that this is happening. And I'm really flabbergasted. We have to help you. We are going to help you. So they promised that they would help. And afterwards, they don't pick up the phone. They don't answer my emails. They don't talk to me anymore.
Horrible. Have you studied other governments? I mean, is it similar, or I'm not sure if you have other expertise?
Well, I talk to a lot of people, and many countries have the same problem. Germany, for example, they say it's very easy. If you say you're leaving, you leave. And if you want to come back, you can come back. But I think it's pretty special in Holland that the government system is split. Like all the different organizations agree that I have left Holland, even though I said that I didn't leave Holland, but they agreed that I'd left. And then the tax service does their own research or comes to their own conclusion and says, no, you live in Holland. So that's weird, you know, it's either or, but not the worst of the worst, the lose-lose situation. But I found other solutions, like, for example, for my health insurance. You need health insurance, right? And I couldn't get an expat insurance because I didn't go to another country. But when I was in Spain visiting IKEA family in Mallorca, I found that they have a health insurance plan, an international plan. You don't have to live in Spain. So now I have health insurance via IKEA family in Mallorca. So there's a solution for anything.
Wow. Yeah, it's cool. And so now where are you? I guess you don't live anywhere, right?
No, I don't sleep anywhere for 4 months a year. So I could register, you know, somewhere to get rid of this problem. But I want to play it by the book because I want the book to find a solution for this. Because it's not just me, you know, I could find my way and find a solution. But this is something that's going to happen more and more often. And our systems are based on locations. Because once it was normal that you had a house and work and a family. And if you left this one location, you would go to another location and be based there. Or you would be an expat for a few years, but you would also move to a location and then come back to another location. But nowadays, we don't have to live in a fixed location where we can be truly location independent. And the systems are not geared for this yet. And there have to be some changes. But as we know, existing systems and powers, they don't like change and they don't like rigorous change. But the world is changing, so the systems need to change with them. With the world. And I consider myself an advocate or a pioneer. And as I'm already kind of a public figure, I thought, okay, let's play this out and let's get a lot of publicity and make it speed up a little bit.
Cool. Yeah, it's great. I definitely support this and I'm very interested. And so what's the time frame so far? Or like maybe what's the plan? Maybe or the next steps?
Well, this has been going on for 3 years and I wasn't planning to make this into an issue or a topic, but it has become one. And I wrote 2 books about it, one in Dutch, one in English. Actually, most of my speeches nowadays are about this topic. It's about not fitting into the system and that you can spend a lot of energy fighting against external circumstances that you cannot change. But you'll only get frustrated and you'll get nowhere. So I try to advise people and organizations to focus on the things that they can influence. And then you take control over your own life and your own company. And that's what I'm doing. And this is just another example of situations that you can encounter that you cannot influence. You cannot make them go away, but you can see it as an opportunity and make the best of it.
Yes, I think I really believe having a positive attitude really affects your life and your outcomes. And so, I mean, yeah, I'm still really amazed. And how can other people get involved or, you know, or support you with this movement? And
well, I think the best we can do is publicity. And I know there's a lot of people like me, but they want to stay under the radar since I'm already exposed to put it that way. Let's take advantage of spreading this story and showing governments that, you know, that the systems are not fit for the way that we want to live and the way that we are already living, and more people are going to live like this in the future. And there are some solutions that are really, really simple. Like somebody proposed to create a virtual address, like a virtual street where digital nomads can register. So we do fit into the system. We don't mind paying taxes and contributing, but we want something in return as well. We want to be insured passport. We want to have social security if we need to. So, but by just creating a virtual street, we can solve these problems temporarily until we come up with a better one. But the current system is just not open to solutions. And if we show them that there's more of us than they think and that we're not going away, then they might be forced to come up with solutions sooner. And that will help all of us, also the system.
True, but I think, like you said earlier, I think people are afraid to put their hands up and say they're doing this because they don't really want to be in the situation that you're in, right? But maybe you could have some kind of a... Yeah, you can help represent them, or
just use my case as an example. And you know, I'm very transparent. Everything is out in the open. So, I'm already in trouble. So, get me into more trouble. Let's do it all together and use my case to advocate your own case.
Cool. And how can people find you out on the internet?
Simple. My website, estherjacobs.info, has all the information. It has videos, the books, stories, press articles, contact details. But mind you, it's estherjacobs.info. Because .nl and .com, they belong to other Esther Jacobses. And they do completely other things.
Yours seems the coolest, for sure.
Thank you.
So, all right. Thank you for coming on the show, Esther.
Thank you. And good luck inspiring people all over the world.
Yeah, let's keep them going.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.